Now it's our second lesson, our official second lesson of this Congress. And it is especially about our second part of our daily lesson. As we said before, the second half of our daily lesson is completely aimed towards the wisdom itself, the wisdom of Kabbalah. When we learn seemingly things that are very distant, very remote from us, so when we start talking about such things with beginners, then they have the feeling that this is somewhere out there, very far away, very remote, beyond the stars, or somewhere in the air, somewhere out there. And the truth is that it's within us. It says, and more than once in the introduction, preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, in the introduction to the book of Zohar, about how we learn about the perception of reality, that everything is within man. We will talk about it more, and we will study it more in our next lesson. But it is important for us to know that I feel the reality in me, within me. And even if I would take out an eye or ear from me to see something from far away or hear something from far away, I would have sense what my senses can perceive and not what happens on the outside. For that reason, we have to try and think about what it says, that the whole of creation is a desire. And there's nothing else but a desire. And that desire is us. Nothing else was created beside a desire. And we learn about the size of the desire, how we can divide it into slices, into degrees, levels, according to the degrees of coarseness, of youth, in width and height, perhaps in depth. And that gives us the sensation of place. That we are inside the desire, and we ourselves also included from the desire, meaning there is a desire which is felt in us as an internal desire, and there is a desire which is felt in us as an external desire. And for that reason, when we come to the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, we constantly should convince ourselves, to force ourselves to think that we are talking about ourselves only. Each one is talking about himself. And there is nothing outside of me. You are not outside of me now. I feel you in me. Do you exist outside of me? I cannot say. You are a part of my perception, in an image in the back of my mind, each and every one of you. And it's the same for everyone. Therefore, if I open up a book and I start reading the book, so the book is telling me from what I'm built from the substance of the will to receive, that I'm completely with the intention in order to receive a pleasure for oneself. This is how it works. And in the next step, perhaps I will be able to bring it into a different kind of form when I will feel phenomena in it of bestowal. And in my will to receive, there are all the degrees of coarseness, of youth, of its force, strength, all its qualities, bigger or smaller, in different forms. Everything we can say about anything, this is a total of the details of the will to receive. Details of the desire. The Creator created only a desire and all kinds of changes in it. We ascribe them names, and this is the only thing we feel in us, and this is our whole world, our whole lives, both this world and the spiritual world. Anything you can imagine or feel or think, this is only a desire. And therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't need to seem to us so imaginary, such a virtual, fantastic or mystical wisdom. This is a wisdom which is talking about the closest thing to us, which is the clearest, most understood thing to us, about a desire. What else does man has? This is where he lives in. Therefore, we are talking about the wisdom which explains who we are, what life is, how we can change that desire a little bit in order to feel better life, perhaps to change it in order to feel that we are living eternal whole life. It all depends on how we will arrange that desire. We only have a desire, and all we need to do is to arrange it, fix it. Therefore, that wisdom is talking about that only. The truth is that we don't need anything else. If we know that, what else do we need in life? Because all the rest, everything else we learn, let's say the external wisdom, sciences of nature, we learn things that won't improve our lives. We see the more we develop, does it help us in anything? Even though we manufacture means, cars, medications, everything, correspondingly, we have more problems and hardships. Therefore, what we have in our hands, the wisdom of Kabbalah, that is, this is the most important thing there is, because that wisdom speaks about how I can change my desire, which is the entire substance of creation. And if I know how to do that, I'm the king. And really, other than that, nothing will help me. We see that humanity gradually is in the direction of the right evolution, meaning throughout these last years, last decades, we have made a flip. We started realizing that we advanced towards badness instead of goodness in our evolution. And this is a great thing indeed. The fact that people stop thinking about the future as a good future, that obligates them to think about what needs to be done about their lives, and not that after a while things will change better. Now in this current crisis, we will get from this illusion of a good future, which they still blare us with. And all that is in order to appreciate this godliness wisdom which was delivered to us. The Creator who created the will to receive and the souls, meaning the most internal part of the will to receive, He gave them His wisdom, how He created that desire, in which program this desire is being operated by, what does He want from that desire, how can the souls, by that wisdom which He gave them, this is His own personal wisdom, because He created the desire accordingly, and He arranged it in the system of walls, degrees, according to that wisdom. As it says, the Creator looked at the Torah and created the world. So when we receive that godliness wisdom, that gift from Him, when we will appreciate it and know that we have the only means to change our lives, not just a little bit better, rather to rise, to transcend to the best absolute degree in all, in every sense, the absolute goodness. And that should be our approach when we open up the second part of our lesson. Or it's either the introduction to the wisdom of Kabbalah, or the introduction to the commentary of the letter, or Tess, which is the main thing. And the fact that we open up these books, they're all based on the tree of life of the Ari. And also on the book of Zohar. And also on the book of Abraham, the book of creation, Sefer HaYetzirah. In Abraham's book, it's completely written, actually, about the structure of the world of Atzilut. In the book of Zohar, the book itself is divided into two parts, mainly. There are more, but mainly two parts. A part which is written about the structure of reality, like Tess, Talmud Esra Sfirot. So these are the parts Idra Rabba, Idra Zuta, and Safra de Sniuta. And we learn in the writings of the Ari, mainly in the language of Kabbalah, and all that is concentrated in Tess, When I open a book of Kabbalah, meaning Tess, which speaks in the language of Kabbalah, not in an emotional language, rather in a technical language, of course I understand nothing about it. Because it speaks about a desire which is not my own. I still don't have such a desire. I cannot recognize it inside of me, not the desire, as it is written there, which is completely after the restriction. When it wants nothing for itself, it completely want only to bestow, or even to receive in order to bestow, in different levels, different situations, to elevate itself in bestow, or deliberately to bring itself down in bestow, to connect to other desires. That means to couple and procreate as a result new phenomena. Of course, I don't understand what the book is speaking about, because I don't have in me a sensation of such a desire. So, what can we do about it? Only to expect it, to anticipate for it, that from the reading, as a result of the reading, I will start feeling my desire, such a desire in me. Because the wisdom of Kabbalah, there is a reason why it's called the wisdom of the hidden. It speaks about what is hidden in me, from myself. And I have to discover it, but inside of me, within me, in me.
And reading in the book, I constantly anticipate, and I'm waiting for this desire which I'm calling, I'm waiting for its actions, and by that to discover within me, and I'll begin to feel what the book is talking about. Because the book talks only about the phenomena of the sensation of the person who sensed what's happening with his desire. And he wrote about it. That's the Kabbalist. That's his writing with his manuscript. That's why Baal Sulam writes at the end of the introduction to the book of Zohar, in Kabbalah for the student, the known part from the introduction to Tass, he writes that the Kabbalists write their books. Not the Kabbalists, they can't understand it. Those people who still hadn't found this desire that's implemented within us. In us we have all the degrees and all the worlds until Ein Sof, in each and every one. But it's concealed from us. To the extent that we yearn to aspire to reveal this, then it will be opened up. So he writes the following. He asks, why did Kabbalists want every person, each person, to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? There is something great and that should be spread. That if it's great, we should understand it's great, and we have to publicize it. He's saying that each person should study the wisdom of Kabbalah. So if we want to go towards the revelation of the concealed world, then we have to keep what they want us, and then I'll advance my desire towards their desire, and in that way I'll reach revelation. So I should listen to every little piece of advice that they give, and they say it between the words, that whoever hears will hear, and whoever won't, then many things go by his ear, and after 10 or 20 years then he starts to hear, and there's nothing you can do. You're not allowed to pressure him. In spiritual development there is no coercion, and as much as each and every one sees himself that he needs to keep the advice of the Kabbalists, to that extent then he succeeds. And not to say after 10 years I didn't succeed, something's wrong, but you did something wrong that you didn't succeed. So look what he writes. We're on page 373 in Kabbalah for the Student, and item 155, second line. Indeed, there is a great thing in it, worthy of being publicized. There is a wonderful, invaluable remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. This remedy is called a spiritual action according to the law of nature, not an imagination or mysticism, but it's a law that we don't know how it works. If we'll bring a person from the jungle, and our friend will stand there with a light switch and he'll turn it on and off, and suddenly the lights will go on, then that person from the jungle, he'll think that there is angels, that we're like God, that we turn on and off the sun or something, because he doesn't see the connection between the switch someone presses on the wall and the light. Or if I go to a piece of metal in my wall at home, I turn it and then suddenly water comes flowing as if from the sea or from the river. A person who doesn't know this connection between these two things, between the source of the water and the tap, he won't understand what's happening. That's called remedy. Meaning, it's the same law of nature, but we don't know how the cause is related to the consequence. And in between, there is a system that it's a black box. There is a certain input here, and here you have the output, but here in the middle, we don't know how it's related. That is called remedy, and that is precisely what we have here in the wisdom of Kabbalah, because we're still not in that same system. But he explains it to us. Of course you're not have the system revealed to you, because between you and spirituality you have a concealed mechanism. But what does he write? Although they do not understand what they are learning, meaning you don't have to know what you're studying, and it's the necessary condition because I don't know what I'm studying, although the material that I'm studying about is the will to receive, and I'm entirely will to receive, but the phenomena they're speaking about, in my will to receive, I don't recognize it. But he says it's not important to feel this, to recognize it. You need only one thing through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they are learning. They awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls. Meaning, I don't know what these surrounding lights of their souls, I don't know what that is, I don't know what a soul is, I don't know what surrounding light is, I don't know what it means that I awaken something, I don't feel what I awaken, I have no criticism towards this that I can say, I awakened this surrounding light better than yesterday, or I didn't succeed so much. I can't say. But I know only one thing. What I can certainly measure, that out of the desire to understand what is being studied, what does it mean to understand what we're studying? That's the secret. If we'll know this secret, and we need to know it, then we'll know how to treat the book correctly, to understand what we study with a strong desire. If we're learning about the desire, what does it mean to understand this desire? It means to feel it, and out of my feeling, to understand about what he feels and what he writes about. It's very simple, like in a novel, where I'm being told about phenomena, emotional phenomena, about romance, maybe discovering continents or adventure, or things like that. I have to depict that state within me to such an extent that I'll be with such an impression, such a fascination, like the author. And then with my fascination and my impression, I'll understand what he wants to pass on to me. The understanding comes from the heart. It says that the heart understands. And therefore, if he tells us that out of the strong desire to understand what they're learning, that means to delve into that same state of the writer of this Kabbalah book. If I yearn for this, to be like him, to feel what he feels, as much as possible, how should I put it? It's as if to unite with him. And as a result, I have hope to enter this feeling, and then according to that feeling, when it opens up to me, I'll begin to understand these words, what they're speaking about. So for me, the Reshimo rises from Nikve Naim to Keter. The screen, the Masach, comes down from Zera Anpin to Malchut. There is a Zivug De'aka in the Chazeh of Partzuf, and so on. And then I'll feel within me these internal movements. It will be a billion times stronger than anything in this world, and than all of this world together. Because the smallest spiritual degree is above everything in this world. And we know from the sequence of the degrees that the higher degree includes all the lower degrees in it. So, until I don't reach a state that I read the book that's written in the language of Kabbalah, of degrees, madrigot, olamot, sfirot, and I feel these actions within me, I don't understand what he's writing about, and that is what I have to crave to reach. That's our work in the second part of the daily lesson. And you can't treat this with disregard. Until we won't reach a state that I open up this book of Tess, of the introduction to the preface to the book of Zohar, and then all my emotions will start to be stringed and played like I'm reading about the most personal thing. Because if in our world we're impressed and excited about something, then it's after impressions and fascinations that came from afar to my desire. And in the book of Kabbalah, I read it in an immediate, short way, what's happening in my desire. And while reading it, I immediately stir up these emotional phenomena. It was very difficult for me to agree to that, because according to my structure, I work with my intellect. My entire life I like to study. I never believed, and I didn't value emotions. What's emotions? Psychologists, philosophies, something for children and for women. That's what I thought. That's what I am. I'm dry according to my nature. But it took me a long time until I started to understand what's going on here. I go through blows. I'm suffering. I enter this negative state, lack of forces. I'm not interested in anything anymore. I don't want to live. Open a Kabbalah book, I'm sick of it, I don't see anything. I get angry at my teacher. I don't know what to do. Until it flips. And it is truly from above. I don't understand how a person like me finally understood that it's speaking about the desire, about the substance of the desire, which is the substance of creation. And everything else that we learn about, we learn what happens in the desire. And there aren't any other wisdoms. Therefore, all the other wisdoms, they are considered through the wisdom of Kabbalah as external wisdoms, because we learn about the phenomena that the inner desire of inanimate, vegetative, animate, it presents it to us in a superficial way, not in an emotional way. And that's why all these sciences are very limited.
So I hope that it won't take you as long as it took me and the hard work, the great efforts that I've been through until before I realized what it's talking about. I remember that the Rabash used to look at me and laugh at me. And I was that poor guy. I didn't know what to do and what is happening to me. And I wanted to understand, but I didn't understand anything, and I felt very bad about it, and I couldn't tie things together, that emotion, that feeling that I was feeling with what I was studying, until the right connection was made in me between the whole of reality, our world, and the study, and all the rest of the wisdoms into one system that it all talks about a desire, how it was created, how it cascaded into our world, divided into many pieces, and that internal desire in our world is called the point in the heart, and a more external desire is called man's body, and the light fills it in such a small extent, and that is called our lives. And it all speaks about that only. So during the second part of the lesson, first of all, we have to come to that hour with a very strong desire to unleash, to discover what we learn about, to discover in me that in the middle of me something is opened up, and I feel within how everything reacts, responds to what is written in the book. This is how it is discovered to us. And during the time of study, although we read and don't understand a single word, in every word I should innovate, renew my desire to understand what the book is talking about, to be impressed, to be excited in such a way that it will be inside of me like everything vibrating, shaking from every word. When I read it, where do we have it? And this is the meaning that by the striking vessels occurred, vessels were made, and these vessels, kelim, come through the purification of the screen of the fourth discernment, and they rise to the place of the third discernment. And when we will read those words, inside of us, the worlds will flip upside down. This is how it's gonna be. But for that, we really need to constantly come with the strongest desire possible. I tried it many times before. First or second minute of the lesson, even few minutes in the middle, in the beginning, middle, and the end of the lesson, yes, I kept coming back to it. I remembered about it. I started seeing, where am I? And the moment after it, again, it escaped me. So what can I do? In our world, there is a mean, the only mean, to crave for something that I do not want. I have no flavor in it. I don't feel it. It's hidden from me. I don't feel the importance. So how will I want it? How will I want it so bad that I will truly want to feel and understand what is written, and that's it? So we see that people hardly feel, hardly hold themselves together for 40 minutes of study, not even an hour, and they fall asleep. That shows us that we don't have a desire for it. Like he says, a great and strong desire. So what do we do? In our world, if I don't want something, but I have to, I have to come to it, but I don't want to, I don't feel like it. What can I do? And I'm even being pushed away, rejected from it. There is only one possibility to enter a society which will brainwash me, which will bring me the importance of that thing which I have no desire, no yearning for it, because we all come from one clay, one vessel, where I'm with all the rest of the souls together. And although we were separated, we are still inside that kli in our inner connection. And therefore, if I walk into a gathering, collection of souls who have an importance over something that affects me, although I might resist to it, and it brainwashes me and gives me new values. Therefore, Baal HaSulam says in the beginning of the introduction to the book of Tes, in item 4, that if a person asks about spirituality, if he has the question, what is the meaning in my life? The response from above it is that he's being brought to the right place to connect to the right people, from whom he can acquire a desire to the revelation and this disclosure of what is written in the book of Kabbalah. A person himself has no such desire, but you can acquire it from the environment. Why doesn't a person have such a desire? Why won't I want it? Why shouldn't I want it? It is said, because you do not see, so you do not want. Okay, so I don't see, I don't know, a pineapple. But I want it. I have a reshimot for it. So I should have such a reshimot for spirituality also, it is said. If you will have a desire for spirituality, although you cannot see it, you will start wanting it in an egoistic kind of way, like you want that pineapple. But you need to yearn for spirituality, to want it in a different way, in an adjustment to spirituality, in bestow, at least in to some extent. And that right approach to read the book, you can have it if you submit yourself to the society. You want to receive from them the importance of spirituality. So your approach is that you transfer your efforts to the society and receive in return the value for spirituality. And that value already, in a certain degree, is already in bestowal. And if, in with these eyes of society, you are looking at the text as if you're looking at the text together with them, you learn with them, that means to study in chevruta. It's a special kind of concept from the word chaverim, friends, chevruta, in a group. Then you already approach spirituality together with them, and that means that you approach it when you're already ready to a certain degree. You adjust yourself, you match yourself to spirituality, and by doing so, you truly come closer to this style, to that spirit, in which the book is written by. And therefore there is no problem if we have a book in front of us, if we have friends around us, a guide which tells us what needs to be done, and everything that is written and everything that is demanded from us, this is something we are capable of doing. So if a person arranges it in a proper way, in a methodical, systematical way, he writes what he has to do. I need, with my small desire called the point in the heart, to address the society, to be impressed from what they're saying about spirituality, and with that to come to the book and to feel that we are looking at the book together in order to unite between us, all the souls together. And that is called bestowal. And I also want to attain that bestowal. And the book is talking exactly about that. The book is talking about me connected to others. So everything will happen to me in a very short period of time. Our whole problem is in the preparation, the right preparation. And I hope that we will learn what to do with ourselves. And this is the main study, what we need to pass on to the students. And you translate it and write about it and talk about it with other people, and you teach it to other people and in between you, and you will have to delve into it even more, into the study and teaching in the near future. So don't forget to deliver that key for the revelation of spirituality. That is in fact the main thing that the teacher has to convey, to pass on to his student, and to keep and to constantly make sure that the student will be aware of it.
And to check himself, to feel himself, to aim himself towards this correct penetration into spirituality. All the rest, lights, surrounding lights, that they surround our souls and they enter, that only confuses us. We shouldn't even enter that. We have to just do what we spoke about. Questions? Everyone is in the correct yearning.
English, yeah. Hi, Rav.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I have a question. From everything I've heard and everything I read, there are two things. The Creator and His creation. If the Creator created everything, including us, the creation,
אם הבורא יצר את הכל, כולל אותנו, הנבראים,
only to go back to him,
והכל רק בשביל להגיע חזרה אליו,
why did he do this?
אז למה הוא עשה את כל זה?
Was he bored?
היה משעמם לו?
I understand that if you were instead of him, of course he wouldn't deal with us. I agree with you. But when you begin to discover world, the true world, not just this little dark corner of ours. Then we begin to understand what has been prepared for us. We also begin to understand who we are. We don't know who we are. You don't know what space you take up, what is your actual body, who are you even? You don't know that. You're called human being. Human being is a desire that is completely similar to the Creator in size, in the intensity, in the fulfillment, and in the ability. Everything. Are you in that place? No. You're in a complete state of unconsciousness from that other state. So you're asking correctly, what do I have now in the state that I'm in? You have the opportunity to be Adam, a human being. So go ahead. There is no answer until we don't reveal and discover the spiritual world. There is no answer to that, because according to what we see the opposite world, dark world, completely defected. There's nothing worse than it. And from that, you can't understand the Creator, the creation, His greatness, anything, of course. That's why we need to discover this, the spirituality, as soon as possible, because only there all the answers are. As much as smart as you think I might be, you can't understand anything, believe me, until a person doesn't pass this barrier. At least even the first degree after the barrier. Then you have something that you can compare this reality to. But before that, you can't. We always attain these things out of the contrast between the things. Light, darkness, bitter, sweet, heat, cold, and so on. That's how our senses work. The creature is included of the I and his feelings. And he feels it according to what is external to him. That's how we perceive reality. You can see there is I internally and something that seemingly is depicted externally to me. Why? Otherwise I wouldn't attain anything. If I would feel everything within me, then I wouldn't feel anything. That is why, until we won't perceive this opposite thing, meaning the spiritual world, then we don't even know anything about this world either, because we have no measuring point. And that is why the answers will wait for you there, and try and reach there as fast as possible.
Hello, Rav. I'm from England, and I have a question from the English group about dissemination.
Shalom, Rav. אני מאנגליה, ויש לי קבוצה לגבי הקבוצה האנגלית שלא על הפצה.
In England, newspaper dissemination could be very... Let me start again, sorry. There's a big potential in England for newspaper dissemination, and we already distribute a lot of newspapers there.
יש הרבה פוטנציאל להפצת העיתון באנגליה, וכבר הפצנו הרבה עיתונים שם.
However, we have big problems with getting enough newspapers and in regular quantities, and we feel that this is hindering our determination efforts.
Well, כרגע יש לנו בעיה לקבל מספיק כמויות של העיתון ובדחיפות קבועה, וכרגע זה מעכב את ההפצה שלנו.
And we want to know what we can do about this.
רצינו לשאול מה אפשר לעשות בקשר לזה.
כנראה שיהיה לכם כאן סדנה.
I think you're going to have a workshop here. I'm not sure exactly the schedule, the agenda.
יש לנו
but we have the English department in the center of Bnei Baruch in Israel. There we have departments for all of the main languages in the world and in general for all the different forms of media, etc. And besides each department, like our English department, it's connected to the English dissemination all over the world. Also Australia, England, all the everywhere. Everywhere that we publicize ourselves in English. Of course, our main work is with groups in North America, especially with Toronto and New York groups. We are now starting dissemination in a very, very intensive way. And hopefully you'll be explained here all of our structure, how we build it, what our plans are, and you can bring up all the problems. I don't know all these details, and the truth is I don't also want to go into these details because I don't see myself at all interfering with this work. You, by disseminating, you'll advance. I disseminate to you and teach you, and you need to disseminate and teach others, and that way you will grow. And you can read about it, I'm sure you know where to find it, that Baal Sulam writes, and Rabash and the previous Kabbalists, that everything depends only on the dissemination of the wisdom. Meaning, whoever wants to advance has no choice. He has to find himself some kind of participation in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Like he writes here, why did Kabbalists obligate each person to study? We have to understand that we should do that. And then he writes that this is worthy of being publicized. So you should contact, where's Avi or Seth, where are you? Is there an answer to that? Is there going to be a seminar about this?
No. Yeah, there will be a dissemination expo tomorrow.
There will be a dissemination expo.
We will be able not just to answer questions or see how to solve problems and how to help dissemination in all of English-speaking areas, but also we will show you in what other roles you can contribute, in what way, whether in a physical way or in a virtual way. This will happen tomorrow. When exactly, Seth?
I think it starts at 3 o'clock. Yeah, it starts at 3 o'clock tomorrow. But in answer to your question specifically, we have restarted in a very, very serious way the newspaper in English. And we're putting together a schedule, and we're going to be putting it out on a pretty regular basis. And if you guys need more copies, we'll be happy to send them to you. So, L'chaim. L'chaim, England.
Tov.
Okay. More, please.
Is this working? My question is the following. We have learned that a person's only choice in this world
is to join the proper environment if they want to advance.
שאלה שלי היא כזאת, למדנו שהבחירה היחידה של האדם אם הוא רוצה להתקדם זה להצטרף לסביבה הנכונה.
And from that point on a person is entirely at the hands of the environment.
מהנקודה הזו והלאה האדם הוא לגמרי בשליטת הסביבה.
כן.
Yet earlier you said that if someone has spent some time studying within the environment and find that they haven't progressed, it's their own fault. Can you please explain?
מצד שני אמרת שאם אדם נמצא בסביבה הרבה זמן והוא רואה שהם לא מתקדמים, שאין התקדמות, אז זה אשמתו. אז איך אתה יכול להסביר את זה?
זה נכון.
That's true. Very good question.
Armumit.
It's a cunning question. Tricky question.
Ani ane. Khatsa.
I'll answer only half of it. The other half I won't. Not because I don't want to say the other part of it, but because you want to understand the other part. The problem is that on the one hand, I'm in a society. You are right now in front of me, and I depend on you. I come to an environment. Who wants something? You think this, you want that. I'm with you, helping you, doing everything, whatever you want, being included with you, with your desires, with your thoughts towards spirituality. Come to the lesson together with you. I'm just being completely included with you. I'm completely absorbed with what I got from you. And from that I learn. And succeed. Okay. Then let's say I don't succeed. You're saying in a case that you don't succeed, what should I say? The environment is incorrect? No. The person? Why the person? Because besides the person there is nothing. So what about the society? Does it exist? Do I have to be incorporated within them? Do I have to respect them? To be impressed by them and to receive from them the fascination for spirituality, and with that delve onto the, and with that go to the book? So it's been said, yes, of course I exist. But what does it mean that they exist?
Souls connected between them in an ideal way, this is what exists. And what you see? You see them in such a way as they seem to you. Also, externally, you look at them. I'm scared to speak like this about women, so I will refer to men. And you also watch their internal way. They're all egoistic liars. So I have to say, this is how I see them. They themselves, they are ends of infinity. They are in a true ideal way. Rather, he who disqualifies in his own flow disqualifies. Meaning, I always have to see two opposite things together. I come to a society to change it, to fix it. I want it to be stronger in dissemination and everything else, as we have just heard in the beginning of my entry to that society. What happens in the end? It's as Baal HaSulam writes in the letter, that in the morning a man has to go out to work as if everything depends on him and the whole world. What is the world? Is how I will change it. So it will be like after coming back from work, I have to say, Everything is like it was. Did I change? Did I attain anything as a result? This is actually what's happening. And the world, like it was in self-infinity, ideal world, it remained the same. This is a very complicated study. Therefore, I said I can explain only half of it. The other half you won't understand. And like with the rest of, I can tell you many, many other things. It will be even less clearer to you. All the opposites, as our friend asked from L.A., they will be resolved only after the barrier, beyond the barrier. Because in our emotion, we are incapable of connecting two opposite things together. This is black or white. It's either one. This is true or false, etc. So it follows that there is no such thing because both of them connect together. And everything comes into place, into one, from one source. To the extent that you connect to the Creator, all the opposites, all the obstacles, interferences, misunderstandings, contradictions, everything comes down and receives a completion from one to the other. But not today. But it's a good question, beautiful question nonetheless. Okay, please go ahead. I see that we have questions from that side and not from the other side. Are women too scared to ask, or you don't have enough, so... Yes, please.
У меня следующий вопрос. Правильно ли я понимаю, слушая вас, что каждый человек, который находится в группе и который продвигается в изучении каббалы, должен проявлять 100% своего намерения, своего усилия для того, чтобы продвинуться в этом, а не просто, например, 99 или 80% я проявляю, а на остальные 20 я жду, придет высший свет, меня исправит, и что-то начнет происходить. То есть, то, что я слышу, я понимаю, что каждый в группе должен 100% проявить намерение, и тогда появится возможность, что придет высший свет и наполнит нас и исправит.
Мими Таргем.
Translating all that?
The question is, do I understand you correctly that when I study in a group, I need to put forth 100% of my effort to reveal the or develop the correct intention, at which point the light will be revealed and everything will be corrected? It has to be 100%, it can't be 80% or 99%, etc.
זאת אומרת, השאלה בכמה אחוזים אני
percentage I have to take part in the actions of the group. 20%, 80%, or 100%. In the percentage that I take part in, this is how much I take part in, and then I anticipate an answer. And to the percentage that I do not take part of, I'm waiting for something to change from above. Finally, whether such an approach is the right approach. It is completely wrong. If a person doesn't come with 100% with his desire to discover the spiritual world, then he doesn't. Spirituality is wholeness, is something complete. You heard about it. Completion from the lowest degree to the highest degree. Therefore, if a person doesn't try to attain a desire for spirituality in 100%, so that it will be for him, as Baal HaSulam writes in the letter from page 70, like a guy who is love sick, is simply goes crazy out of this life. We have an example in this world. Every normal person at some point in his life felt something like that. So this is an example given to us what it means to yearn, to crave for something that much. So he says that I'm lovesick, meaning that all day and all night, this is the only thing I'm thinking about. Only on such a condition can one cross the barrier. And if sometimes he is reminded about it in between his affairs, of course that too enters, adds up to the general account. But until it won't reach such a state as I have mentioned, it won't happen. I don't want to confuse you. But everybody will have to come to it. Gradually, sometimes it takes years. But if a person thinks that he can settle for less, then let him. But spirituality is perfection, wholeness, meaning me, during my life, I need to want only that. I also have to engage in my business with my family, different other things, of course. But this is because I have to, out of necessity. And my true concern should be only for that. So again, it's like somebody who really goes crazy out of so much love. Did you forget all about it? You're already old. I still remember.
For being here tonight, I appreciate it very much. We all do. And my question is, we read recently the story of the Akedah, where Avinu Avraham is being tested by Elohim to...
Something related to the topic of the lesson.
Yes. It's
actually about... Mayer Sheila.
So ask your question quickly.
It says Elohim tried to test Avinu Avraham. In the end of the story, it says the angel of Hashem came to save him. So my question is Elohim the collective consciousness of humanity, as psychologists portray it?
השאלה היא בקשר לעקדת יצחק, שבסופו של דבר המלאך מציל את המלאך השם מציל את יצחק.
The question is, since Elohim is the one that was testing
Hashem,
what does it have to do to my intention during the lesson?
As much as I can. That's why I was asking the question, because...
I'm sorry. I'm asking you. We're all in a certain line of thought, and you shouldn't just come and ask a personal question such as this one.
You talked about that you're an intellectual person and you're pretty much in the head, and you had struggling to get to understand Kabbalah through your heart, and I very much relate to that. And I was wondering if you could give me some guidance to us as how you managed to get from the head to the heart. Did it just come to you?
דיברת על המאבק הזה בין לתפוס את הקבלה דרך בין הרגש לשכל, ואני מאוד משתדלת לתפוס אותו דרך הרגש. אולי אתה יכול לתת לנו איזה המלצה איך באמת להעביר את זה מהראש ללב?
כל רצון הקטן ביותר, every desire, may it be the smallest desire which we have, as a initial
desire, and that is called the point in the heart. It is evoked by the Creator. It doesn't come from me. Nothing comes from me, neither good or bad. We are just the substance that feels what goes on it, and what doesn't go on it is us. Where it is simply being brought to us all kinds of impressions that we will have for us to learn something as a result. So if I want to relate to what is happening to me in the right way, then I have no option of doing so unless I enter into a group with that. A group, it's not necessarily a group of people. A group, this is some kind, this is a virtual concept. This is a kind of complicated structure which is comprised from many desires, many different desires, many souls. And for the time being, you can't detect it. I understand that you cannot understand what I'm talking about yet. But this is what I'm trying to say, that a group, it's not necessarily a group of people. These are internal desires, the points in the hearts we all have. Imagine there are 500 people here. These are not 400 or 500 people. There is no hall here. There are no chairs here. There are no bodies here. There are points in the heart who want to discover godliness, because this is where they come from. These points, we have to see them, that they are present, they are connected, interconnected between them. So if I can organize for myself such a picture, that is called a group. It's not the faces. It's not their corporeal character. These are the desires for the Creator, because this is what I need from my friends, and I don't need anything else. Therefore, if I want to process what is going through me, all kinds of desires, phenomena, it is preferable if I will take into consideration these points, this group which I have just drawn. And out of this, let's say, out of this system, I will relate spirituality, the Creator, anything in life, and then I will discover that also in my life,
it's actually spirituality I'll begin to discover also in this world, that if I relate to it in a spiritual way, then I'll discover that it is spiritual and that there is no corporeality. Are you tired? Is it enough? Or not yet? Are you saying no according to the clock or according to your desire? Okay. It seems to me that that's it. You're tired. What else haven't I said? Go ahead.
Hello, Latman. I saw your video from was a Congress of Quantum Physics meets Kabbalah.
ראיתי את הווידאו שלך מהפגישה של קבלה עם הפיזיקה הקוונטית.
Was with different scientists and physics. Speaking a lot about physics.
עם מדענים שונים ופיזיקאים דיברו על פיזיקה.
In front of a group of people.
זה היה בפני קהל.
בסדר, אני מבין בפני קהל. שאלה, שאלה.
Do you remember being there?
Okay. No.
Okay, so what I wanted to ask is you're from the, you said that you go outside of yourself but you don't see anything in front of you.
מה שרציתי לשאול זה בקשר לזה שאמרת שאתה יוצא מעצמך אבל אתה מגלה שאין כלום.
But what my question is that when you're at the Malshut, the Malshuts are the different Malshuts, yeah, different levels. I wanted to know which level you are at.
הוא שואל, הוא אומר, דיברת על רמות שונות של המלכות, רציתי לדעת מה הרמה שלך, איפה אתה נמצא.
קטר.
קטר.
טוב. זאת שאלה.
That's a question.
בבקשה.
No. Hello?
Go ahead.
How long does it take to get to that level?
הרמה הזאת.
אמת, זאת כבר שאלה.
That is a question.
אין היום כמו שכתוב אצלנו.
Today, as it says in our books, from thousands of years ago, that a person needs 3 to 5 years to reach spirituality. That was for individuals who climbed themselves alone. Also, Baal Salam, until he reached it, it took him almost 20 years. No. We don't need that because we're in this new era that everyone has to reach it. There is no time for it. But as soon as a person arranges his desire with the environment, then everything's open for him. And especially if we can do it through the masses, then we'll be able to divide up the burden between everyone. If each and every one of us will want it a little bit, that's what I spoke about now, that each one has to reach 100% of his desire towards spirituality, otherwise he won't enter it. But imagine how a single person can reach such a desire. But if the group wants it, and each one ignites the other, then it works very quickly. So I truly hope, I've already said about it a few times, we have an opportunity this year to make this breakthrough. So hold on. Hold on tight. Don't fall off the carriage. It depends on you. Yes.
Oh, after everybody reaches our spirituality and the Kli becomes one, we are told before that we broke down.
אחרי שמשיגים רוחניות וכולם הופכים לאחד, אנחנו יודעים שלפני שנשברנו,
once we reach there, will we have any more children, or is that the end of our souls?
ברגע שנגיע לזה, האם נוליד עוד ילדים, או שזה בעצם סיום הנשמות שלנו?
Our world exists our world exists in our egoistic, in our smallest egoistic desire, which is called inanimate, because it can't change. It changes in the last stage, after correction, and after we rise to the world of Ensof. And when we will rise to the world of Ensof, there we will be included together as one body, and we will correct ourselves completely, then also this world will receive its correction and will be included in the world of Ensof. There won't be a reality like it seems to us now, that there are men, women, children, all these things. We feel all of that in our desire. Those things don't have their own existence, but the entire world is just phenomena in my desire that I feel. It's called the imaginary world. It's called a state that we're in sleep. And then, like in a dream, I feel myself now with you, and I have family, children, friends. Yeah, so all of this goes through my smallest desires. And when we will correct them, all these phenomena will disappear. But in the meantime, we have to use them to reach Ensof. That's it? More? Yes.
No.
Go ahead.
Вы недавно сказали, что читая тексты святых книг Бальсулама, Рабаши и другие, мы можем неожиданно как-то увидеть слова, даже фразы, вставленные между внутри текста.
Recently you said that when you read books of Rabash and Balsalam, you can actually get to see words in between the letters and the words reveal themselves.
Мы читаем эти тексты, чтобы привлечь нас свет, возвращающий к источнику. Сохраняется ли этот эффект и как, или если? Ну, как? При переводе на этих текстов на другие языки, на английский, там испанский, я не знаю, русский.
When these texts that we read to draw the light that returns us to the source get translated into other languages such as English, Spanish, etc., does this effect remain or does it go away?
Коротко говоря, мы видим ли мы этот эффект, например, на русском языке?
For instance, in Russian, do we still have the same effect when you read these texts?
Or in English? אני אמרתי על זה שבקריאת הטקסטים.
I said about this while reading texts that a person might sometimes see certain words between the words, between the printed words in the book. And that is one of the phenomena that we feel while reading. So our friend asked, do we see this only through the original text written in the Hebrew or in all the other languages as well? There is no difference how the book is printed, in which print house, and which language. But if the text is by a person who has spiritual attainment, Even through translation, just by a person who is an expert, who translates. You will still see all of those phenomena, because these phenomena, they stem from your will to receive that changes, and not from the book itself. You can see through your will to receive this book and the words. But if your desire will change, you won't see a book. Instead of a book, you'll see a system, a source that brings you light, spiritual fulfillment. Not this processed wood and the print, the color of the print, of the ink, it all seemed different. So, everything will be, don't worry. Just change, that's the most important thing. Yes.
Hi, Rav. So I understand the books, the Rav, and the group. And the books and the group is clear, but the Rav, there is one of you and many of us, and as we go through our daily work and studies, we would love to be able to ask, am I on the right track? How am I progressing? This action that I did, was it right or wrong? And how do we get that individual direction?
אני מבינה את עניין הרב קבוצה ספרים, ולגבי קבוצה וספרים זה ברור, אבל לגבי רב יש רק אחד, אנחנו רבים. היה טוב אם היה אפשר לשאול כל הזמן איפה אני אמיני בכיוון הנכון וכו'.
לא הבנתי, מה זה רבים?
I don't understand what does it mean that we're many.
לגבי רב, אתה אחד ואנחנו רבים, אנחנו הרבה. איך אפשר, אי אפשר תמיד לשאול האם אני בכיוון הנכון, האם אני עושה את הדבר הנכון וכו'.
אני רואה את עצמי כמדריך.
I see myself as a guide.
רב שלנו זה...
Our Rav is the Rabash, Baal HaSulam, and the Creator. Rav is means great. You can think of me as great. If it helps you, accept the advice. But more than that, you don't need. Otherwise, it will. Turn into the Chassidut of the Chassidim, or it will turn into idolship. You don't need that, and I don't need that. You have to listen to the advice from the spiritual experience and treat what you hear with criticism, but to take it seriously. And if you accept it, then you should act upon it. And more than that, I don't need and you don't need. That's it. So what else? So what do you have unclear through me? If I'm there every day, a few hours I'm facing you during the lesson, I pass it on to you as much as I can, as clear as I can, to the extent that there is permission from above, or the opportunities come from above, and to the extent that you stimulate me. That's it. You have to treat the guide, meaning the Rav, as great in order to accept his advice and take it seriously and no more. In all the rest of the things, the opposite, I have to show myself constantly in an unserious, simple way. See, you won't make something special out of me. I'm not special. What I teach is special. About what I teach is special. That's it. The holiness isn't in the person. A person attains the holiness. Now, I just want to say a few words at the end of the lesson. So today we spoke about the second half of our daily lesson. So you know how to treat it. I still want to add. There is a difference between men and women. That women don't have to study that part. But if they support the men, and if they pressurize the men to want to discover it, then they receive from the group of men everything that the group of men reveal and discover. And any of the women who has a desire, then they can study tests. It's not prohibited, but there are certain things that aren't necessary. We have a few other things that I'd like to say. First of all, we have to respect all the groups that are with us in the lesson here, from all around the world. Many thousands, even it's been said that a few millions of people. Marcus is going to read us the stats.
There's friends, groups, and many congresses together with us all throughout the weekend, and here's just some that were with us during this lesson right now. From Minsk, from Mexico, from Odessa, from Sydney in Australia, from Argentina. There's a mini congress in Berlin happening simultaneously with this, a mini congress in Italy. There's a group in Uruguay, in Spain, in Colombia, in Moscow, in St. Petersburg, in England, and also the first mini congress in Melbourne around this congress here. L'chaim.
Machar. Tomorrow, we have a congress in Italy that our friend who went there especially, Moshe Admoni, he's in charge of the dissemination in Italian. Hopefully it will go okay. We'll support them. It is a very strong country in Europe. And there is a drastic change there in spirituality. We're waiting for dinner or something, or lunch or what? No? First we have the friends, the assembly of friends, and only then we have food. Okay, what can we do? I want to talk about food. Something that's close to my heart. When we are together and when we eat together, first of all, we know that in all cultures, in all of humanity, in all times, to sit together and eat is called to be in certain connection. It's a special foundation that gives people a base to come closer to each other. So we have to do it in a unified way, preferably together. And maybe not to be with this attitude that I have to sit there and that I have to talk to him. Make it in a circular way, in a smoother way. While a person is eating, if he's in contact with the others, then there is a very special state here. We'll talk about it. It's very complex. In the Zohar it says about it. In the Zohar it's written a lot about it. That when people sit down and eat and then they go onwards and they sit down again and eat. There it's not speaking about our food, our type of eating, but it's talking about eating is the light of Ta'amim, which enters through the pit into the spiritual Pratsuf. It's slightly different, but still there is the branch and root. So what I recommend to do out of just a regular meal and out of a meal of friends, you should turn it into a meal of Kabbalists. That we want to reach this state together, that we'll sit down together, meaning our souls, our desires will be together with a connection between us, and in that plate of ours that we'll construct, this spiritual plate, will receive the spiritual fulfillment, and that will be the meal, all of us together, with one desire, which is included from all other desires. That is the meal of Kabbalists. There are a few exercises for this. You should try during the meal, try to think that you want to transfer all the pleasure of the meal to someone else. Think that you're in the other one. A sign if you succeed that you stop feeling any taste. Take something that's the tastiest thing, the sweetest thing. Try think about someone else that you want to transfer the pleasure to him, and then take a bite. If you feel the flavor, then it's a sign that you haven't succeeded passing the intention on to him. Yes, seriously. Try it today, this evening, and then tomorrow we'll do a different exercise. We spoke about how Kabbalah is mandatory for everyone, and that this thing has to be publicized. And to the extent that we publicize it, to the extent that I connect other souls to me, then they become as my children, and by then I grow, because the pyramid grows from below to above. And in order to give you the simplest piece of advice, then we've made this sale, we have 8 books here. The easiest to disseminate. They're the best books we have in English. They're closest to just a foreign person, a stranger. And we're selling all of them for $40. All of these. I recommend each and every one to buy it and to spread it. You can buy it and keep it in your home. And you can make a library out of it. You give it to someone, then you get it back. Then you give it to someone else, then you get it back, and so on. Or you can hand it out as gifts to different people. And this is something that everything we do in the wisdom of Kabbalah, it's a question mark. We did it, we succeeded. But by taking a book that talks about something which is crucial for one's destiny, for his correction, and when I give it to him, then that's something that's been done already. What happens afterwards, it's not important. The action is still an action. And that can't be erased. I think that the state I reached it only by disseminating. Otherwise, I wouldn't have received anything. And I'm telling you this out of my experience, out of clear knowledge that that's the way it is. That's why, to the extent a person disseminates, to that same extent he advances. And besides books, you're probably going to talk about the actions you'll do after the Congress, by our division, our English department, and also not only in English, we have in Spanish, in Russian, we have other languages. Connect to it, to this dissemination. And I think this thing is a gift for us, not to the person we give it to. Thank you very much.
So much to bear. I can find a proper path. There's a crisis everywhere. The hate just fills me up with pain. Can't see a way over this wall. I need a friend to grab my hand, to catch me if I fall. But there is a sign of hope, that we can mend this broken boat. Go back to living with the love between us, where we reveal the light within us. Amen. It's time to learn for truth. We yearn, let's be as one again. Forget about the souls. Why do we think about ourselves instead of finding common goals? So much hunger, so much war. This world is getting very small. And it raises just one thought: what could be the meaning of this all? But there is a sign of hope, that we can mend this broken boat. Go back to living with the love between us, where we reveal the light within us. Amen. It's time to learn the truth. We yearn, let's be as one again. Within the heart of man.
pieces of one soul. No man can live alone. We're all the broken pieces of one soul. No man can live alone. We're all the broken pieces of one soul. No man can live alone. We're all the broken pieces of one soul.